I'm Manila Chan. You are tuned into Modus Operandi. What a difference a year makes in the world of politics, from American mainstream media to the halls of Congress, and even states who share borders with Ukraine. Little by little, we've witnessed an erosion of support. Today, we'll talk to a former Ukrainian diplomat and whistleblower who will break down just why the veneer of victory and support for Volodymyr Zelensky is quickly fading. All right, let's get into the MO. What would you do if you witnessed wrongdoing by your government? How would you react if your own government sanctioned a Nazi hit on your life? That's exactly what happened to our next guest in 2020 before the conflict in Ukraine unfolded. And as more stories like his come to light, it helps explain this erosion of support and confidence in the proxy war waged against Russia using Ukrainian blood and treasure. Joining us for analysis and to tell us his side of the story is Andrei Telezhenko. He is a former diplomat for Ukraine, once based here in the U.S. He's held several high positions within government, including advisor to ousted Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin. Andrei, thank you so much for being with us. First, I'd like to address the media smears that you endured back in 2020, just weeks ahead of the U.S. elections. Now, mainstream media outlets such as CNN and NBC, they wrote articles about you, calling you a disinformation agent. They said that you lied or misled U.S. officials about that notorious Hunter Biden laptop, things of that nature. Now, 3 years on, all this evidence has surfaced that would exonerate or vindicate you. Talk to us about how these narratives have changed over the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's all the big media, all the mass media in the West called me a Russian agent, Russian spy, a liar, and that I'm on a payroll of the Russian government, etc., which is a total lie. And that's also being confirmed, and there's witnesses of that. That's one thing. But the other thing is that everything I said, everything I talked about, Hunter Biden investigation, about the crimes of the Biden family through Burisma, through Blue Star Strategies, the lobby firm which lobbied, not only lobbied, but coordinated the work for the Biden family through Amos Hochstein, was confirmed through different sources, dozens of sources on the Capitol and FBI and other intel groups who came out to the Senate and Congress, confirmed everything I said 3 years later, 2 years later. But still today, the mass media, everything else is just ignoring whatever I said. They still continue to call me a Russian agent, to smear me and to smear my family. I had to flee Ukraine. And because of all those vindications against me, and my family had to flee because they were getting death threats. And still today, I'm getting death threats online about my family. And this is just a great example of how the deep state is afraid of the truth, how everybody is afraid of people like me to come out and tell the truth, to whistleblow on the situation, what happened. I was a person who was involved in Maidan, unfortunately, the coup in Ukraine. I saw in my eyes what happened there. Then I was working with the Ukrainian government. And after that, and I saw how the Burisma investigation happened and what happened under Viktor Shokin, who was the prosecutor general, I was his advisor at the time, how the investigation was continuing and the American embassy was trying to block it. I was a witness of that. Then I was hired by Blue Star Strategies because they needed help working with the prosecutor's office. But when I understood what the work that they were doing, and they were trying to threaten me because I was working with Rudy Giuliani and the Trump team on the Ukrainian involvement in the elections of 2016, they started to threaten me. So I came to the Senate and came out with the truth with my emails, with my personal information, what I could provide at the time, because they blocked my subpoena. Senator Romney blocked my subpoena in the Senate, so they could not call me out and get all the information from me. And until today, that information is still in my hands, and I'm willing to provide that to the U.S. government, the U.S. Congress, the Republican Party, which is doing an investigation into Hunter Biden right now. And I think this puzzle, together with all the information I said 3 years ago and today, with everybody else coming out with the truth is confirming what I said, is going to add to the value of the impeachment hearing. Because for me, it's not about Biden or Hunter Biden. I don't care about these people. The problem is these people brought war to my country. I knew that they will destroy my country because how they used Ukraine as a corruption rag. They brought corruption, more corruption to Ukraine. You know, there was corruption. Ukrainian government was corrupt, but they brought in more corruption. They used it, and they used it for, to their own benefit to destroy my country. And my country today is Ukraine is being destroyed by the United States government, by the Biden administration. So this is why I'm continuing to fight today. And as I said, everything I said was confirmed to dozens of other sources, other witnesses, and everything I provided was personal emails and communication between me, Blue Star Strategies, the firm that I had already consulted with on Hunter Biden Burisma. I was in contact with the head of Burisma, with Vadim Pozharsky. I was in contact with Sally Pinker, Karen Tremontano, and that information I provided. What Russian disinformation is in it? Nothing, because it's my personal witness testimony and communication with them, which was published in a Senate report in 2020, which by Senator Johnson, Senator Grassley, which everybody forgot about. And today, it's, everything is being resurfaced again, which, thank God, the truth will prevail.
So Ukraine is your homeland. You served as a diplomat for your country for many years. You were based at the Ukrainian embassy here in the U.S., but then in 2019, Volodymyr Zelensky was elected president of Ukraine on a platform of friendly ties with Russia, a very moderate approach. But then by 2020, Zelensky was singing a different tune about Russia. What happened there? What can you tell us about that timeline and how the U.S. or the West plays into that? And coincidentally, we should add, the U.S. revoked your visa in 2020.
Yeah, that's correct. I got sanctioned, fully sanctioned by the U.S. government in January 19th of 2020 by the U.S. State Department and the U.S. Treasury Department, and falsely and illegally for being a Russian agent or connected to people like Derkach, who I never knew and never got, was involved in. And without any evidence, they just put that on and blocked my visa and blocked any of my financial. I cannot get a job anywhere abroad right now because of the sanctions. I cannot get a bank account because of the U.S. sanctions on me. I cannot travel to the U.S., Canada, the U.K. because of the U.S. sanctions. But the other problem is that my government, my personal government, Ukrainian government, the Zelensky regime, as I call him today, you've called him for the last 3-4 years, is that he also sanctioned me illegally, unconstitutionally, for because the U.S. government sanctioned me just to set up to the Biden administration. He did that, and I'm suing him in the Supreme Court of Ukraine. I'm the only one in Ukraine to sue the president, acting president of Ukraine today in the Supreme Court, and that's also a fact because what he did is illegal in any way. So, and I also got followed and the death threats by the Azov battalion and by the Zelensky members of parliament on TV, on TV, because when the conflict started, they said that you have to shoot Telezhenko down on the street because he's a Russian agent and because he's sanctioned by the U.S. and he's sanctioned by Ukraine. So he should be shot down as a dog, and that's it, without any trial. That's how they pushed it on TV. And I personally got calls from members of parliament from the Zelensky team and Poroshenko team. So this is what Ukraine has become. But what Zelensky has become, what he was, he did come on the platform of peace and ties with Russia and everybody around Ukraine, Belarus, Hungary, European Union, everybody, to be friends with everybody, to be a neutral country, to come out of the Poroshenko regime as a new way for Ukraine. This is what the Ukrainians, 75% of Ukrainians wanted. They did not want war. They wanted peace. They wanted prosperity for Ukraine. They wanted to end the conflict and the war in Donbass of killing of their own citizens. And just what Zelensky said, he will make a deal, he'll come get the Minsk Accords back on the table and sign them and get Donbass back into Ukraine as an autonomy, but how Ukraine united. What we see today, Ukraine is divided totally. It's lost, it's losing more and more territory. 600,000 men and women of the Ukrainian army have died. A lot of thousands from the Russian side have died. We have a total bloodshed. And this is the person who came in a platform of only peace. And what happened? 3 months later, after he became the president of Ukraine, he got bought off by the British intelligence, MI6. In June of 2019, he got called up and brought him to London, and that's when he basically made a choice. And he understood and he knew that he's going to be at war for what? To topple a regime and government in Russia. That's what he wanted, to topple the government in Russia. That's what his main role was. They understood Ukraine could not win on the battlefield. They only wanted to go against the Russian government. And that's what Zelensky signed up for. He signed up for it to go and destroy his own people, destroy his own country, to become a billionaire. That's what he got promised, that he will have all the wealth he needs in the world, but he will topple the government in Russia. And that's what the role of Ukraine was. This was in London by the MI6. And today it's being coordinated totally by Washington. London and Washington are playing their own game, not to have you bring peace to Ukraine, because they understood they cannot do that the first 3 months to go against, because the government in Moscow is standing strong. The people are supporting President Putin, and he is supported by all his people. There's only 1% who left Russia, and they were all working with the West. And today they're only making money in Ukraine. The military-industrial complex is making a profit of just continuing this war and killing more and more Ukrainians and making dollars on this. And Zelensky is part of this. He's just a puppet which is being used. And every other politician in Ukraine, because there's no opposition, is involved in this.
So just to reiterate, just so we got this clear, the Azov threatened you and your family directly. That yes. doesn't sound very democratic to me.
No, I was put on the Mertvorets list, which is a kill list. I'm on that list. I was put that 2 weeks before the conflict started in Ukraine. I was threatened right away on the 25th of February by everybody I could, even by some family members that I know. Not close ones, but just to know, because people were so fed up with got so much propaganda in them. But officially, it got threatened by members of parliament. Members of parliament of Ukraine from the Zelensky party and other parties, Poroshenko party. My picture was put on TV and my name was put on TV to be shot down. And because there were so many weapons on the street, the first couple of weeks you could get shot and nobody would care about what happened to you. Your body would be just thrown in on the street and they said, oh, this is what happened. The Russians killed him, or he got shot by his own, or he's a Russian spy, whatever, and make a show out of it. And nobody would investigate this. And the Azov Battalion, I was put on the Azov Battalion kill list to be destroyed and killed just because I stood up for peace, just because I stood up for not war, to save Ukraine, to get back Donbass, to be part of Ukraine, and to live a peaceful life in a prosperous Ukraine, and not to have war with Russia. This is what they only want. I didn't support any political party. I didn't support any candidate. I didn't support Russian president or Belarusian president or Polish president. I supported my own country. And that's what they wanted to kill me for, because I had my independent view outside of their propaganda box.
Coming up next, drugs, delusions of grandeur, egomania. Those are just some of the accusations being leveled against the one-time Man of the Year, Volodymyr Zelensky. We'll discuss it when we return with Andrei Telezhenko. Sit tight. The MO will be right back.
And welcome to Crosstalk Bullhorns. Here, we discuss some real news.
Welcome back to the MO. I'm Manila Chan. Not long ago, Time magazine picked him as Man of the Year. Then just a year later, they published an article sort of bad-mouthing him in the way of unnamed sources. To talk more about this, we'll bring back Andrei Telezhenko. Thank you so much for sticking around with us, Andrei. So let's get into the circles more closely aligned to Mr. Zelensky. A recent Time magazine feature article quoted several unnamed members of presumably his cabinet who leveled insults against him, calling him delusional and even messianic. They seem to say he exists in his own world, divorced from the reality on the ground that Ukraine can somehow still win this war. Do you have any ideas of who these unnamed sources might be and what this means for the inner workings within the Zelensky government? I mean, is this the first fracture? Are there going to be more fractures to come?
The thing, the big fracture is that Yermak, the vice president of Ukraine, as you can call him, is the one who's playing those games and has his own team that's doing all the puppet work around Zelensky. First of all, they're keeping him in a bubble. They're the ones who are keeping him in a bubble because they understand that that's the only way to make continue to make a profit with the West. But at the same time, they understand they have lost. Some people are still delusional. They think they can win within the team. But Yermak and his surroundings are the ones who are playing that game with Zelensky for him and at the same time against him. Like Podolyak, for example, a guy who used to be a gynecologist as his official profession, became a political expert and used to run false campaigns in Ukraine and make profits from different politicians and never win any election. And this guy was hired by Zelensky to run his PR. Such people are the ones who are playing the game against Zelensky at the same time and for him at the same time. But Yermak is the biggest player who's going to run off the first wing when he's going to start changing, because he understands he needs to save himself more than anybody else, because he was responsible for more of the back schemes around Zelensky and getting him involved with the British than anybody else. So he's the one who's keeping Zelensky in this whole bubble of everybody's going to win. And you have to understand that's one thing. Second thing is Zelensky, as the leader of the regime, is a drug addict. It's not some fairy tale. It's not some conspiracy theory. The guy used to do drugs, heavy drugs. During the election time, he got off the drugs. After the election time, after like half a year as his presidency, he started going back on drugs, cocaine, not marijuana, some light drugs, heavy drugs. And this person is the one who's running the country. That's why he's so delusional. That's why he is being used as a perfect puppet, an actor, to run this whole show for somebody else outside of Ukraine. So the main people are Yermak, Podolyak. There's a group within the intelligence community in Ukraine, which is playing their own game against Zelensky and his team, and even against Yermak. So there's different factions within the government. And some of them I cannot name because of my personal safety reasons. If I do, I don't want to get killed. But they are within the intel community in Ukraine. And they have specific names, and they are working together with the West. And these people were prepared 2 years before the war started that they're going to have their own game. If something's going to go bad, it becomes Zelensky. A year before the war even started, these people knew what their role would be when this would start going to an end. So this is what the West is leading to, Ukraine to a civil war, using these puppets within the regime to play their own situation out in Ukraine.
All right, so you guys have unelected bureaucrats as well, and your actors have similar problems to our celebrities here in the U.S. All right, got it. Well, let me ask you then, is there room for dissent among Zelensky's rank and file, among those who have his ear?
Well, they have to. First of all, the only person who can disagree with them, the team, is Yermak. There are people who do disagree, but publicly they can never disagree. They have to play within this game. First of all, because Zelensky is an egomaniac. He thinks that he himself is king. I met Zelensky a couple of times after he got elected. He offered me to become an ambassador to Washington at one point, which then got overplayed. Thank God I'm not a part of his team, and I would never want to be part of ever his team if this would happen. But I met him a couple of times. So this person is a person who used to play for money in saunas, in party lounges, for rich Ukrainians who used to throw him dollars when they would get drunk and use him as a tool to have fun. Can you imagine this person got power? This person who struggled throughout his career to stay afloat and make money any way possible, as I say, in saunas and little party lounges where they used to get drunk oligarchs laying there and begging him to tell a joke when they're drunk. And this person played a role. And then he got power and support from the West. What kind of person that could be? It's just a person who would go for a total destruction. He would not care about anything, only for himself. And this person would destroy anything that around him that he thinks is a threat. He thought of me as a threat. That's why he sanctioned me. He thought of other people as threats. Regular political experts in Ukraine who just spoke out about peace. A lot of my friends got shot and killed in Ukraine by the Secret Service in the first weeks of the war just because they stood against Zelensky and wanted peace. That's why that's the democracy the West is supporting. Not only people like the American journalist Gonzalez, who's in prison right now in Ukraine illegally, but also there's thousands of Ukrainians who just got killed because of their position, not supporting the war and not supporting Zelensky. And this order was given and supported from the top, not personally about every name, but just to give an order, anybody who doesn't support me and has a little political weight or possibility to go on air, they have to be destroyed and liquidated. That's what happened.
Now, what of the latest news that the European Union has now reversed course and are now opening accession talks for Ukraine and Moldova? I mean, this would be a boon for Ukraine, but wouldn't this be a detriment for the EU in that this would be an economic drag for the bloc?
First of all, the European Union also opened such a possibility for Turkey in 2005. So we have Turkey still in that situation where there are possibilities to join the EU, but they're not in the EU because there are political situations which you have to go through. Orban announced that he will not support the joining Ukraine into EU because of the economical situation the European Union went through right now supporting Ukraine, and they do not have a possibility to go further. Look at the countries like Germany, one of the prosperous countries in EU. All their chemical industry is falling apart because of the high gas prices. They're paying 40% higher than they paid for the gas prices years ago because they're buying it from the United States. And like this is just an example, one of the top economical growth countries in Europe, that's Germany. And they're still struggling today. What you can say about other countries. So today, EU, if they're going to start getting Ukraine faster into the EU, the situation will be the question, what will happen when Ukraine will start losing more territories? What is the situation within the EU? What will they say? How they react to it? That's one thing. That's why Ukraine does not have a chance to join the EU really fast. They are afraid to lure Ukraine in within the fast plan, which they promised. Ukraine will never have the fast plan. They will go through the plan as Turkey is going into right now. There will be promises, promises, and promises. They just have to show something because they cannot get some money today. The $50 billion is being paused. So they are showing this great gratitude that Ukraine and Moldova is going to join. They're using Moldova the same way they used Ukraine, destroying the government within, and the country is one of the poorest countries in Europe, so is Ukraine. Unfortunately, for me, it's heartbreaking to say that. Right? My own country is being one of the poorest, even though it was one of the richest after coming out of the Soviet Union. So today, it's just a game by the European Union. That's what I believe so. It's going to be a drag for Europe if they do it fast, even though I think the U.S. is pushing Europe to do it because they're saying Ukraine is in your backyard. You have to continue the fight with them and help them. But unfortunately, it's just a fairy tale for Ukraine because everybody understands they cannot get Ukraine in the way the economic situation Ukraine is today to join the European Union because it will be a total destruction for the EU. And the European Union will fall apart if they will do that, because the countries who are within will not be able to support, not because Ukraine, they don't want to, and they understand what Ukraine is being used for as a proxy country within the US, but because they cannot support their own interests, because everybody, unfortunately, because only Ukraine does not put its own interests up front. It's Washington's interests up front. That's what Zelensky does. The Zelensky regime puts Washington's and London's interests up front of his own countries. Everybody else, even though they're playing under Washington, they're playing their own interests up front. And I think that's what they have to do. And then we can start talking about EU or something else after the war ends. We can continue this talk. Maybe Ukraine will never start wanting to join the EU again because there would be other possibilities to join other economical institutions around the world, where there'll be more possibilities for Ukraine to regain its economical growth and gain as it was 10 or 20 years ago.
Andrei Telezhenko, former diplomat for Ukraine, thank you so much for sharing your story and giving us your analysis. We certainly wish you and your family well, and maybe one day a safe homecoming.
It was great to be on your show, and I hope to be on again, and all the best to you. Thank you.
All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Modus Operandi, the show that digs deep into foreign policy and current affairs. I'm your host, Manila Chan. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next time to figure out the MO.